Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live Sunday nights, this is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Maybe it's much, much too early in the game. You know, I thought I'd ask you just the same.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. And of course, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. If you ever miss an episode, you can always visit knss.radio.com. You'll find links to podcasts of all our previous episodes there. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on Twitter at John R. Whitmer to get the latest updates on the show. So employers across the country were recently given the legal authority to require employees to get the new coronavirus vaccine. According to legal guidance from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the new guidelines say that because employers are entitled and required to ensure a safe workplace in which, quote, an individual shall not pose a direct threat to the health or safety of individuals in the workplace, a company can require its employees to be vaccinated. Joining us now to explain the new EEOC ruling is Sam McRoberts. He is the general counsel and litigation director for the Kansas Justice Institute. Sam, thank you for joining us this evening, my friend, and Happy New Year. Hope you had a Merry Christmas, brother.
Yeah, I did, John. Thanks for asking me. Hope you did, too.
Of course. Yes, I did. Thank you. So, Sam, there are several factors that can affect whether an employer can require its employees to receive the vaccine, though, correct?
Yeah, it's, you know, the EEOC makes it seem like this is pretty straightforward and pretty clear cut. But from my perspective, it's anything but clear cut and straightforward. There are a whole host of issues that impact the employer and the employee that and all sorts of considerations they have to think through. But you're right that the short answer is probably yes, the EEOC does, at least in their opinion, they're saying that they can mandate employees get the COVID-19 vaccine.
Well, and according to their ruling or opinion or whatever it is, I guess it's a ruling, the employer has to show that it's necessary for the job, usually for people working in high-risk environments, or that there is a quote-unquote direct threat. But who determines or defines what's necessary or what a threat is, Sam? I mean, that's the question.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, of course, it looks or sounds to me like you actually read their guidance.
Yeah.
But they don't really say what it is.
It's called prep work, Sam.
You're all over it. You know, one of the things that they talk about in the guidance is they say, yeah, it has to be job-related and consistent with the business necessity, but they don't really go into it. So everybody's kind of left to figure that out on their own or pay their high-powered lawyers to figure that out for them. And I would imagine, you know, there are going to be some businesses that are going to require it, and there are going to be some people who are going to object to it, and then we're going to be in litigation over it.
Yeah,
there are going to be, you know, cases in California, there are going to be cases in New York, all across the country, people are going to be suing over it, I would imagine.
I think you're right. I think litigation's inevitable. And I was going to ask about that. There are some states that also have restrictions on requiring vaccines. So that's also going to affect whether employers can require, the COVID vaccine. Is Kansas one of them? Does Kansas have a law regarding that one way or the other?
It's really interesting. So I want you to think through this for a second. I know you have had guests on talking about the local health officers and their ability to do certain things during the COVID-19 pandemic. And one of the provisions allows a local health officer to require people to take vaccines.
What?
And that's something that people haven't really considered or thought about. And I'm not sure the legislature really thought about it, but it's in there, 65-129B, and it says a competent individual refuses a vaccination or a medical examination or treatment, then the local health officer can require the individual to go and remain in place of isolation or quarantine. And that's something that, I mean, heck, I don't think anyone thought about that until the last 9 or 10 months. And I'm not sure anyone has really seen or paid too much attention to that in the statute.
So you're telling me that Gerald Mims, an unelected, unaccountable bureaucrat, has the authority to order someone to get a vaccination?
It is frightening when you think through the implications of that, because you're exactly right. The local health officers, they're really politically unaccountable. They can make up these orders as they go along. Kansas Justice Institute has filed litigation over these orders. We've seen all across the state of Kansas the very bizarre things that are happening, but the legislature has empowered these local health officers to take pretty draconian steps here. And that will be very interesting if anybody gets ordered to take a vaccine from a local health officer. I don't know if anyone would actually do it, meaning the health officer, but if the legislature gave them the authority to do it, I would imagine some local health officer has been considering it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I can tell you right now, I'm not entirely sure I will get the vaccine one way or the other. But I'll tell you one thing, if I'm ordered to, I won't be getting the vaccine. I point that we're talking with Sam McRoberts from the Kansas Justice Institute. Sam, a recent Wall Street Journal poll asked, do you think it's an overstep of power for the government to require people to be vaccinated? 96% of respondents, over 4,000 votes, said yes. Only 4%, 169 votes, said no. I mean, it's an overwhelming number. There are exceptions to the EEOC ruling if employees have a disability or sincerely held beliefs that prevent them from getting vaccines. But if employees do not want to get vaccinated for religious or disability purposes, there are several steps that have to be taken in order to accommodate that request before they can be terminated, though, right, Sam?
Yeah, no, that's true. You're exactly right. There are likely two types of exemptions. You nailed it on the head, the disability-related exemption and then the religious-related exemption. And in that context, it's got to be a sincerely held religious belief or practice that prevents the employee from receiving the vaccination. In that case, the employer must provide a reasonable accommodation. And there's a case from 1977, TWA v. Hardison, that talks about really what is a religious exemption and what's an undue hardship and really what's the, if it's a de minimis cost on the employer. What's also, I think, very fascinating is that the Supreme Court, just in February of this year, Justices Alito and Thomas and Gorsuch indicated that they really wanted to revisit the way that the Hardison court had kind of thought through this religious exemption practice and basically indicated, like, hey, let's get someone up here so we can address what all of that means. And there is a case pending right now in the United States Supreme Court that might answer some of these questions at least. But it looks to me, after checking out the Supreme Court docket, that the Supreme Court has kind of punted it a couple of different times, so we don't know if they're going to actually take it up.
Hmm. I know this is a little off topic, but I'm curious, what do you think of these businesses that are requiring verification of vaccination in order to enter the business or use their services? Similarly, what do you think of some of the government? There's been talk of vaccine cards. I think it's ironic the Democrats are the ones that are pushing this vaccination ID card. They're the same Democrats that, of course, don't want voter ID cards. So it's okay for you to, you know, mandate a vaccination ID card, but you can't have an ID card to require somebody to vote. How is that even legal and not a violation of HIPAA privacy rights?
Yeah, so there are two kind of parts to that question. The first is the private employer doing things. And I get uncomfortable when I hear about vaccination passports and vaccination cards and things like that. But I get doubly uncomfortable when I hear the government talking about that, because they've got a whole level of coercion that private employers don't really have. And as we all know, it's state action when the government is telling you to do something. And we have constitutional rights. And that's exactly why Kansas Justice Institute exists, because if the government is overstepping its bounds, then we're there to fight back. And we're there to file lawsuits to try to keep the government from doing these types of things. For example, one of the things that I've been thinking through recently was the University of Kansas is mandating COVID tests for students to get onto campus. And the University of Kansas is a state university, and they're requiring students to provide saliva samples. And that
No. How is that not unreasonable search and seizure? You can't do that in a criminal trial. You can't require a judge can't do that to a defendant, or they can't do that with a defendant without a court order.
So that they're not seeking a court order, and they're saying if you step on campus, you must provide a saliva sample. And from my perspective, that is very much, it calls into question the Fourth Amendment.
Yeah.
Because right now what you're doing is you're saying you must provide this, and if you don't, you can't come on the campus. And students who are on campus then can be randomly tested throughout the semester.
What?
And you're exactly right. It's, from my perspective, it is an unreasonable search or seizure. And those are the kinds of things that COVID has done. Like, you know, the government is overstepping its bounds left and right.
Well, this reminds me of that, you know, Thomas Jefferson quote, there is no justification for taking away an individual's freedom in the guise of public safety. Sam, thank you for joining us this evening, my friend. If folks want more information from your organization, they can find you at KansasJusticeInstitute.org, correct?
Yes, sir.
Well, I appreciate you, brother. Carry on the fight, my friend. Have a happy and a safe new year, buddy.
Thanks, John. You too.
Appreciate you, brother. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. Did you have a COVID Christmas, or did you have a normal Christmas? Are you optimistic about the new year? Are you worried about your employer? Maybe are they going to require you to get the COVID vaccine? Give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.